It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. But we are relatively concerned. I have a good longtime friend of mine, Jim Bovard. JimBovard.com. He's on the line. He's author of many books, keeping an eye on the man. And I want to just, you know, I just wanted to have a conversation. It's time. It's time to bring Jim on the show. I got you there, Jim?
Sure enough. How you doing, Ernie?
I am more than wonderful, much better now. I get to talk to you because I tell you, we need to get a perspective. And we can get kind of a past perspective, and we'll build up into, you know, in the future perspective here. But there's, you know, I'm just going to read off some of the books that you've done. Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. Now, what year was that? That was like 92 or 94. Yep. And what prompted you? Because I remember that book right there. When I was over, you know, Charles Goyette and I were over at Air America, Communist Radio, you know, freeing the slaves. And the station manager there, we got him to read that book, changed his life.
Oh, really? I'll be damned.
Yeah, he read that book. All of a sudden, he was hailed. tell us a little bit about that book. Lost Rights was, you know, the first time that I became aware of you, and it was just kind of, you know, the first couple of years of the Clinton administration, and then, of course, it came over from Daddy Bush. But there was just, I mean, dang, we was in trouble.
Well, I was trying to tie together it because I'd heard from a lot of people. Well, there's only an antidote here. There's only an antidote there. You know, there's a few scattered problems. What I try to do with that book is make people aware that government has far too much power across the board, and that government is far more abusive than it appears, and that government's a much bigger threat to your rights and liberties. And I tried to write it in a way that would appeal to both liberals and conservatives, and make each of them understand that there are threats beyond their immediate favorite issues.
Right, and it had a fantastic effect. It was amazing to see the transformation. He read it in probably 3 or 4 days. Now,
wow.
Boom. And he's going, you know, wow. Because Charles and I, after each show, he would come in, and he's, you know, the head guy of the most popular Air America affiliate in the nation here in Phoenix, and he's going to try and convince us. Well, don't you think you guys should? We're like, look, here, we got a book for you.
Oh, that's great.
And it had a great, the next book by James Bovard, Freedom in Chains, The Rise of the State and the Defense of the Citizen. Well, tell us about that one.
Well, basically what I was doing is building on Lost Rights. This Freedom in Chains came out in 1999. It's a more philosophic work, trying to help people understand how the government became so out of control, and that a lot of the things that they think as far as about freedom and democracy or other things are simply charades. To try to raise it to the philosophical level, to the intellectual level, and to, again, go beyond the antidotes, the examples, the specific policies to show that government is a peril across the board.
Yeah, no, and you did a great job with that. And then we had the Bush betrayal, okay? Now, of course, the left, you loved you for that one, you know. But go ahead and tell us about the Bush betrayal. What year did you do that? That was 2004?
Right. It came out in August, September 2004. It's interesting. I was trying to show people. You know, there were a lot of people on the left who were saying, "Yeah, he's terrible in the war, and he's there are some civil liberties concerns." But it was far worse than that because so many of the things he was doing were complete frauds, such as the No Child Left Behind Act, such as his farm bill, such as his trade policy, and such as his expansion of AmeriCorps. And it's kind of ironic because so many of the things that Bush was doing badly, that Bush did very badly, he was building on the Clinton legacy, and now Obama is continuing that same trend, expanding some of the Bush's worst boondoggles.
Yeah, as if there's a difference, and we'll get to that, okay? Then the next one, terrorism and tyranny, trampling freedom, justice, and peace to rid the world of evil. And tell us about that one.
Well, actually, that came out in August, September 2003, about a year before the Bush betrayal. And what I was trying to do, I mean, I was kind of intrigued after 9/11. The first 2 weeks after 9/11, the percentage of Americans who trusted the government to do the right thing doubled. And you had all these people putting government on a pedestal. You had the media doing it as well. And the politicians were jumping on the bandwagon. And it was from that great increase in trust in government that so many of the disasters of the subsequent 8 years have occurred, because people put blind faith in government, and government exploited that to seize far more power and to almost completely shred the Constitution.
Almost as if that was the plan.
Well, I hate for anybody to think I'm cynical.
Well, then we got to the one that really just sent people over the edge, attention deficit democracy. And I remember you doing a lot of shows on that one. And go ahead and explain why you picked that title for that book.
Well, I was trying, part of the frustration I've had in trying to wake people up and make people recognize that the government is a much greater peril than what it seems at first glance is, so many people have got the same notion that they got in high school civics class, that it doesn't matter how big government becomes, because they are the government, they are in charge, just as long as they're able to vote, that means their freedom is safe. If you look at how the system actually works, voting is, voting makes people feel better sometimes, but it rarely voting almost never curbs the power of government. And it's that power of government which is the ultimate threat, increasingly, in so many areas across the board.
Wow. And attention deficit democracy, that was just a couple of years ago. When did you write that one?
It came out in 2006.
Well, you know,
wrote that, I guess, 2004, 2005.
Well, I remember it having a big, your books have been unique in that they've been embraced by both the left and the right. But, after you did the Bush betrayal, boy, that they just did not love you no more. So where are we at now? Are we working on an Obama book? One of them coming?
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, I'm talking to a number of different folks and just kind of wheeling and dealing on that. And there should be something out here. Hopefully not too many seasons from now.
Well, the one thing that I wanted to give that kind of background so that we're looking at least 15 years of books by Jim Bovard. Jim Bovard, BOVARD.com. Jim Bovard, just like it sounds, .com. And you can go there, order the books, take a look at the stuff. And the reason I like talking to Jim is because he took the time to do this type of research. You go in and you look for, and that's right, you were an endorser of Charles Goyette's The Dollar Meltdown, too.
It's a damn fine book.
You know what?
I'm really glad to see Charles has got a New York Times bestseller. Charles deserves it. Charles is one of the few radio hosts who paid the price of principle back by standing up and opposing the war with Iraq. It cost him his job, but, it saved his it saved his honor.
Which was more important to him.
Absolutely.
And you know what was interesting is that on Clear Channel, it was totally lost. They had no idea what that was.
They didn't
understand. And we can't, don't you get some big money, boy, in the big media market? We got plans for you in the future. You're going to be the man, and then you're going to give all that away. Yeah, it matters not if you lose your soul. So it was great to see you as one, up there with other endorsements, names of Ron Paul and Peter Schiff and Jim Rogers, give me a break, Lou Rockwell, James Bovard, Ms. Shedlock. So obviously he has a lot of respect for your opinion. And what I found out? It's being translated into Korean and Chinese.
That's great.
That is.
I hope Penguin got him a good deal in the royalties for the Chinese market. That's very important.
Yeah, you know what my first question was to him? I go, China's buying books? I thought they just printed them.
Okay.
So, you know, they don't care. We just print them. What are you going to do about it? Well, the thing is that now we're getting, having been so, I would say, taking attention. You know, there was no attention deficit on your part when we were going through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, war on terrorism, the alteration of government, to where you can make an opinion, I wouldn't even say an educated guess, an informed opinion from Jim Bovard on the difference between the left and the right. Is it just a left jackboot and the right jackboot, or the jackboot on your throat party? Well, when we come back here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, and the independence declaring kind of guy, Jim Bovard, we're going to get his opinion. And we're going to get a lot more information you probably realize. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of guy, Mr. James Bovard. That mission is a little bit of freedom. Can I have some, please? I don't know if I can. You know, the Wall Street Journal said James Bovard has become the roving inspector general of the modern state. You know, because somebody's got to. I mean, that's why, I can tell you that. You know, one thing that I want to make sure we talk about, Jim, is that, you know, you did an article, Health of the State. Okay, and I remember there's one line in there that kind of had me concerned. I wonder if you could tell me more about it. Is the ultimate goal is the utilization of a certified electronic health record for each person in the United States by 2014. So that is like, you know, a rancher wants to know everything about his cattle. And not only are we numbered, but dang, they got pictures of us and pictures of our insides. I mean, damn, man, how bad does it have to get? So I'm this healthcare thing. Are we looking at this is going to wind up on the president's desk? You think?
Well, this is that line about the health records. That was from I believe it was Obama's stimulus bill, which passed in his law. And the feds are, I think, spending roughly $20 billion to get that data computerized. Ugh. So that it can be poured into national database. And it's kind of funny. Back when I was doing that research earlier this year for that piece, there were a number of individuals who had already commented at that point that, you know, the Obama folks are painting this as a panacea for making healthcare more efficient, but in reality, it's been a disaster in a lot of places. During the last couple months, I've seen other articles, even in the Washington Post, making that same point. But it was curious at the time that there was this kind of a bum's rush to get this rushed into law. There was almost no criticism of the actual procedure itself as far as whether it would help medicine or hurt it.
Well, it's not about that. I remember when HIPAA was done, you know, the privacy protection, and I'm going, right, you know, this is not about, you know, my privacy. It's about giving access to, they go, nobody can access your personal records except us. I feel so much better.
HIPAA is a great example why people should not trust the government, because it was sold as something that would protect privacy. The actual reality is far darker. And there have been so many policies the government has adopted that it just makes such an utter mockery of its pretensions back in 1996 when HIPAA was enacted.
Well, this is a progression, okay? I mean, it's just, I can see the march. And from someone in your position that researches this and willing to put your name on a book that has all these facts in there, that's why I come to you. And I say, Jim, what is the ultimate goal here? I can see a trend. As I was born in 61. You know, I graduated high school in 79. I'm 48. I went through the first oil crisis and gasoline breaking, going from, you know, like 50 cents a gallon in my 65 Chevelle Super Sport to all of a sudden a dollar something. I went, damn, you know. So I had my attention where Iran hostages, Afghanistan war, the Soviets invaded, boycott Olympics in Moscow. We went through the Carter administration, super inflation that was going on. Reagan gets in, blah, blah, blah. So you look at the headlines from then and now, and it's like the same thing. My kids go, oh, you don't understand. Really? Let's go look at some headlines from when I was your age and tell me I don't get it. Same thing. We grew up in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. I mean, it's the same kind of stuff. So I'm seeing a progression, and it's like revolution. The reason they call it revolution, because it keeps coming around, and I'm seeing the same thing start to repeat. Heck, even bell bottoms are going to come back. You just know it. You know, long sideburns and afros. I mean, you know, it's just predictable. Well, I'm looking at the one thing that has been trending up has been more and more state control, more and more government power over our lives, more power over our money, more power over and regulation of how we live and everything. And I'm going, you look back in history, do we have any parallels here? Do we know where this is going? Do we know when it's finally going to reach an end?
Well, it's certainly going towards, things are getting darker and darker on the political front. And, it's frustrating that so few people, even look back, 15 years ago, or much less 30 years ago to the, situation with Iran back then. It's interesting to hear some of these media folks talk about how ignorant the people are out in the heartland, out in their red states.
Really?
But so many of these media folks themselves are almost as illiterate, but they're far more pretentious.
Oh, no, they are. Dang. You know, you watch this stuff on, I don't watch the news. I just can't. You know,
that's your blood pressure.
I publish freedomsphoenix.com. Freedom's Phoenix, I mean, you're aware of it, and the audience sure. knows about it, too. And this is, we go get our information from the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, but most of the, that's really just for flavor and color of what they're trying to BS us with. Where I get most of my information is from blogs and foreign media and individuals that just were standing there as the car bomb went off from the smoking rim of the crater. They did their iPhone. And here's my YouTube. I mean, this is the traditional media is done. Their credibility is gone. They are here in Arizona in Phoenix. We had two major newspapers, one the Arizona Republic and the other was the East Valley Tribune. The East Valley Tribune just went under.
Okay.
One down, one to go.
One to go. Okay. And it's sad to see because a lot of these newspapers had some very talented editors and some very talented reporters, but it's
weird.
But there was so much kowtowing. There was so much, there were so many things which they would not publish, so many outrages which they would not expose.
Well, give me some of the big ones. I got so many, I can't keep track of them all, but I mean, some of the stuff that you would think, oh my goodness, this is like a big, giant, huge thing. And then, what's that? You have tape that Bush was inhaled?
There you go.
And that was a cover up of a bunch of other stuff that was going on. And a lot of people, they don't know. Whenever you get this big, thing that's like Fort Hood, you had Fort Hood happen, terrible thing. You got to look behind you. You're going, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And that weekend, just a day or two later, boom, healthcare passed through the House Saturday night late. They do it every time.
Well, it's passed through the House the first time. I have doubts about whether a reconciliation bill will ever get through. But it's frustrating to see how those things are exploited by because people in the House knew that there was intense hostility. I mean, the polls might show maybe half on this side, half on the other side. But the people, a lot of people who are opposed to it, are mad as hell, and that's part of the reason why some of these congressmen are afraid to have meetings in their home districts anymore.
I don't think you're going to stop it. I mean, it's going to, I am of the opinion, this is my prediction, that you're going to have health care. There's going to be health care. They're going to have, a health care line on your paycheck or withholding a new bucket of money they're creating. It's going to be Mrs. Fika and she likes to shop. So I'm going,
okay.
I can see what they want to create. All the argument now is not about creating the bucket of money. It's about who gets access to it. What special interest gets their cut? Who's going to be, taken off the top here and, fed under the table over here? What faucets are going to get put on the bottom of the barrel or the bucket so that they can get their share? And this thing, to think that something as huge as this, an opportunity to fleece us this much more, it's not going to be avoided. I have yet to see something like this stopped. And even if it is stopped, they'll be back. Didn't we go through this with, it was called Hillary Care before. You know, they're not going to stop until they get it.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't guarantee that those folks are going to get it, because it's good that there is more vigorous opposition. It'd be good if it was better informed at times and didn't see it strictly as a partisan question, but it's good that there is a lot of white-hot anger out there on this issue, and I hope that some of that heat can at some point become more light and get more people understanding the danger of politicians having control over health care in the same way that it's dangerous to have politicians with control over what you eat.
You know, when we come back here on Declare Your Independence, we're going to be talking to Jim Moore about this, his optimism that there's a possibility that they might not get this through, but then it'll be back. Well, how might we stop that? And we'll talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, and a couple of other laws, too, here in Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jim Bovard. That's jimbovard.com. B-O-V-A-R-D. I knew I'd get it right. You know, the thing is, Jim, I'm optimism. I mean, I am very, very optimistic about humanity. We always, humanity marches on. And a lot of times we just got to shed ourselves of, you know, this whole concept of a deity sanctified king. We don't want to do that. We got rid of that one. We got that, you know, the church and the state, you know, combined against the rights of the individual to make you do. Nah, we don't want to do that one either. You know, then we get, you know, we got this, we'll govern ourselves and everything. And then you create an elite that kind of takes over the levers of power, and we're going to do it. Well, we can change the guy behind the lever. Let's do that. And nobody ever asked, can we get rid of the lever? Can we get, you know, take that ring of power and chuck it in the fire as Mordor and be done with it? I mean, is that advocacy even there? Do you even hear it, see it, smell it anywhere?
Well, I hear it bits and pieces. Some of the folks who are big Ron Paul supporters have picked up that theme. Some of the things that Ron Paul said have been great on that subject. There are folks, there are elements out there. It's a little frustrating that the government has been able to push so much further over the last year and a half to see so much more economic power and get leverage over a lot more activities, and that there's not been more of a fundamental backlash against that. However, you were asking why I'm optimistic, and you know, I wouldn't characterize myself as optimistic, but I think as far as this healthcare power grab, I think that the clock is ticking, and that there's more and more people losing faith both in Obama and in the in Congress across the board. And I think that's more and more congressmen are getting nervous about their necks on the chopping block next November.
You know, I you're going to have a government computer there counting, you know, one, two companies get 80% of the ballots to count. And I'm like, you know, I don't count on that.
I agree, but... But I think that there is a fear factor among some of the incumbent politicians.
Which from what? Bullets?
I wasn't thinking of that, but I was thinking of more just of voters next re-election time.
You know, I don't think they're afraid. I really don't. I think they know they got their nut covered, man. Don't you worry about it. You just do this, and we'll spend a gazillion here, and we'll make... Because I am of the opinion, I want to go on record here, you know, and of course, Jim may not, but I do. This is my opinion. They don't have to convince me that there is the best way, or they have the plan, or I should vote for them. They just have to convince me that all my neighbors are stupid. They just have to convince me that nobody else knows. They just have to convince me that nobody else cares. They have to convince me that my neighbor is uninformed. And then when I get the results, I go, yeah, all my dumb neighbors. And I don't believe it. I have more faith in people. I'm going, I don't believe that the vast, because I'll tell you one thing, because a vast, vast, vast majority of Americans don't vote. So I'm like, I win. That's a vote of no confidence.
Well, it's sound like it's a good consolation to interpret it that way.
You know, what else are we going to do? You know, my thing is that I don't want to be in a, you know, I know you had attention deficit democracy and you had a little bit different opinion, but You know, my opinion is I'm tired of supporting a beast that's devouring me. I don't want to give them credibility. I don't. And it's amazing they go after Kosovo and they had a vote and they go, oh, no, it doesn't count. Not enough people came out to vote. And I go, heck, they had a higher percentage than we do in America. Let's undo a bunch of those votes, too. So it's just hypocrisy. I'm so sick of it. And I am in a position now to where I get the vent every day. For 4 hours a day. Can you imagine that? I get the yak, wow. yak. And the thing is that I'm sitting here and I'm going, what is the justification for this system? I remember Lysander Spooner's quote one time. He says something like, and this is like 130 years ago or whatever, and he goes, you know, if the Constitution was not the cause of our problems, it sure as heck didn't prevent it. And that's kind of my opinion. You know, it didn't prevent it. And I don't see how it's going to prevent in the future. Where does the power from the people come from? Is it, I mean, are we going to count on voting? Is it politics? Is that where we're going to make our stand?
Well, it's important to make a stand there, but it's important not to think that's going to be a panacea. I mean, it's going to take more than that. And folks can't count on the government to honestly count the votes or to show much respect for the values of the voters. And that's part of the reason why the government's kept getting larger and larger, even though most Americans since the 1960s have not favored a more powerful federal government.
You know, you live close to Washington. I mean, you're practically in Washington, D.C.
Well,
and
okay.
Well, I mean, you're closer than I am. I mean, you know.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. You're within 10 miles of the borders of D.C., aren't you?
Something like that, yeah.
So you're there, and I remember the big Tea Party thing. What, and did you get to see any of that, you know, the throngs of people, you know, descending on D.C.?
I've seen bits and pieces of that. I was not at the big march September 12th.
But I mean, we're talking. There was some people had some relative concerns there, and of course, you got Clear Channel and Fox, and they'll run out and ooh, and we rented the stage and got the permit and had the microphone. So all these people must be ours, you know. I'm like, yeah, right. And they got all their own signs, and we love this and we hate that and whatever. It had nothing to do with, you know, what they said it did, but it was another opportunity to show a whole bunch of people that were unhappy. What impact does that have on these guys? I mean, they may be worried about their constituencies back home, but I'm not seeing a change in policy.
I agree. I mean, I was hoping that some of the overt protests would have had more of a restraining impact on Congress, but it does not seem to have worked out as well as I hoped it would.
Why?
I don't know. I think that most of the congressmen figure that the protesters, unless there's huge protests someplace inside their own district and they are not comfortable with re-election, then they aren't going to sweat that much. Part of the trouble is with all the gerrymandering, you've got the vast majority of congressmen have got very safe seats. And so it's very difficult for them to lose lose their seat unless they do something that's a complete atrocity as far as what their voters think.
I tell you, I mean, just from our perspective here in Arizona, I mean, we have Mr. John McCain, you know, run for president. Well, anybody that knows McCain here, he's not that popular. And but, you know, you got gazillions of dollars and I'm a U.S. senator. Guess what? I'm going to get reelected. That's the way it works. Well, what happens is we have Dr. Paul come. We had our Freedom Summit. You know, Jim has been a speaker at our previous summit, previoussummit.com. And we have this year, again, for the third time, we got Dr. Ron Paul, Thomas Woods, Charles Goyette, Adam Kokesh, on and on and on and on. A lot great. You go to freedomsummit.com, tell you all about it. But the thing is that Congressman Paul is coming Friday, and he's going to Arizona State University. They already have 400 or 500 kids signed up in their meetup just to go see him speak out on the campus lawn. Then we have the night before, Thursday night, we're showing the Ron Paul documentary. That Friday night, he's doing a fundraiser thing. Then he speaks at the summit on Saturday. The Republican Party just oozing all over themselves. Oh, we want to have him come and do and this and that. We love him now, but not really. And what happens, all of these people that got involved in Republican politics, became precinct committeemen and so on. They go and they were telling me, Fountain Hills, east of Phoenix here. It's a upscale area near Scottsdale. And what happened, they had a table with all of these petitions out, all these guys running for Congress and various whatever signed my petition. And they all had, you know, sheets filled out. John McCain had zero signatures. Nobody would put their name on his petition sheet. And but that doesn't matter. I'm telling you, here nobody. He was under recall. They had an office, and it was just this groundswell in opposition to John McCain on his gun policies and First Amendment when McCain-Feingold and all this other stuff. He was being recalled when 9/11 happened. It was only after 9/11 they kind of, all right, well, now's not the time to do that. You know, come together, America. America, MK, call it America. And what happened is they pulled that, and anybody outside this state don't know how despised he is here. Heck, I ran against him in 04 as a Libertarian candidate. Now, the thing is that doesn't matter. The machine will make sure that he gets the nomination and beats whoever comes up against him. And that's how it works across the nation. And the people are realizing just how broke this thing is. And I'm wondering when we go to another stage. I mean, we petition. It's like Benjamin Martin in The Patriot. He goes, well, we petition again, and we, you know, we console with our friends, and we try and make sure, and we cajole them, and we petition, and we write letters, and we do whatever, but we don't want to really get to any kind of conflict because he's right. It's going to get ugly, and we need to avoid it if at all possible. When we come back, I want to make sure that Jim, you know, has a commercial break to think about it. How is it possible? Who else would I ask? I would ask Jim Bovard, jimbovard.com, because Jim has done the research. He knows. I want to hear what he has to say. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and a world-changing kind of guy, Jim Bovard, jimbovard.com. And, Jim, I'm looking at the story right now. Senator Joseph Lieberman, no, I'm going to be stubborn on this. I'm not going to support any health care overhaul that includes a public option, blah, 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 or a government-run health care plan. Now, this is a guy that was Democrat, but he was loved by the Republicans in order for him to be able to get reelected as an independent when he didn't make the ballot, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So I am seeing Mr. Lieberman is taking a hard line against the health care. No, no, no. Republicans, we're going to whatever. And I'll bet you that's just negotiating. And from the cynical me, they're going to come up with a health care light, whatever you want to call it. But there still is going to be a withholding on your paycheck. There is going to be a line. There is going to be, this is my prediction, they are going to pass something that is going to be more money out of your pocket, that they will expand this whole program later. They will expand the amount of money they're going to need. They will expand because they can. So I'm going, you know, Jim, that's my opinion. I'm looking to you for save us, man. Give me something I don't know.
Well, you know, Ernie, but just the fact that they haven't done it yet, doesn't that prove the system works?
Yeah. That's it.
Actually, you know, yeah, it looks ugly as hell, but, you know, there are still several ways that this train might be stopped or derailed before it reaches the station. And it is losing steam. It is almost out of fuel. The headwinds are growing. Some of the foreign, you know, countries are no longer giving a blank check to pick up American, U.S. government debt. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a road, I don't have a list of plans on how exactly it could be stopped, but, I think that there may be other battles coming up, which can, further dent the current momentum of the Obama administration.
Well, you know, that's one thing you were talking about. I thought it was part of the healthcare plan when they did this digitizing everybody's record kind of. You go, no, that was part of the stimulus package.
You got it.
I mean, you know.
Which is already coming, which is already approved.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and already bankrolled. So.
Yeah. So they're, you know, yeah, we don't need your healthcare plan. Heck, a bunch of the stuff that they really want is getting tacked on a bunch of crap anyway.
Well, yeah, this is how things tend to go. I mean, there's somebody in the administration has a wish list, and they just wait for someone on Capitol Hill to stick it to some other bill. I mean, this Bush did this to the nth degree, and most people in Congress aren't paying attention to what they vote for, and most of them might not understand it even if they did read it. So,
yeah, and I don't know. They just do what they're told, and I tell you one thing: they're going to be told, and we told by their state here in Arizona, our state budget. We are going to, by end of next year, we get in the next session, we're going to be over $5 billion short. And we got a balanced budget amendment. I mean, woo, you know, or a balanced budget provision in our Constitution. And they go on and on and on about California, how bad it is. Per capita, Arizona is worse than California.
Wow.
And I'm going, you know, when the federal government comes in and says, you know what we need you to be doing? We want you to pass fill in the blank. They go, yes, and boss, give us our stimuli. And that's what's going to happen, and that's how they're going to get these the states are sucking air, man, and they are going to be, when you got billions of dollars that can be just printed up and handed out to the states, there's going to be a lot of influence to congressmen. Because we saw that happen here last fall. They first came up with the stimulus package, going to save the bank, save America, and it lost right off the bat. Well, we knew. We had a poll on Freedom Side. I go, you know, how many days before you think it's going to get resurrected? Okay. And, of course, everybody knew here it comes. Who did they have bring it up? Mr. Conservative John Republican Shadegg. And he's the one that brings it back. And then we get him on tape here. You know, they had a little secret little taping going on from their camera. You didn't know that the camera did video. And yeah, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that. And I'm going, oh, please. And we did signs. It's national, what was it? Nationalization of the economy isn't fascist. When I do it, John S.S. Shadegg. And we put those everywhere. And I'm telling you, Jim, this is, if they need it, they will get it. They will put it on some other bill. They will do it. This country is done. The dollar is done. We need to start thinking about what's next. I mean, I'm not afraid of it. I'm good. You know, I'm like, eh, whatever, you know. I, you know, go over there. I'll go just hunker down, you know. But my thing is to think that we're going to be spending emotional capital on trying to save something that you've demonstrated in all your books is past saving. I mean, you know, if you wanted to save it, what is it you would be saving?
Well, there is the old saying that the Constitution isn't perfect, but it's better than what we have right now. And there are some elements of the Bill of Rights that are good, but there are great, but it's just, you know, those were stop signs that have gotten run over too many times.
You know what? I had a guest on. I don't even remember who it was. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Constitution, and he goes, "You know, it doesn't say what a lot of people think that it says." And he was talking about the writ of habeas corpus, and it said, "You know, yeah, you got the privilege granted to you by the government, a habeas corpus, right up until we're in rebellion, or you know, the government is threatened, and then you know, for our interest, it's can be repealed." And I'm like, that's the original Constitution? You get habeas corpus right up until it's inconvenient for the state? I'm like, man, that's a heck of a starting block. So I'm going...
Yeah, I mean, that is one hell of an asterisk. Flip side is, I mean, it is valuable to have that there, and it's unfortunate that Abraham Lincoln and George W. Bush had such utter contempt for it, as did Franklin Roosevelt and others.
It's not contempt. It says right there, when the state's threatened, you don't have to do it.
I think, I don't have a Constitution in front of me, but isn't there necessary to have a specific declaration or some because I'm almost certain Abraham Lincoln was in gross violation of that, even though the North was in a state of civil war with the South, a war of aggression against the South. And I think that there was some provision in the Constitution that he had to make specific, which he did not, which is why the Supreme Court almost found him in contempt, I think.
Well, you know, I'm looking it up. I'll have it here in just a second. I know where it's at. blah, 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 blah. It says duties for nation, naturalization, punishment, writ of habeas corpus. I'm looking for. It's in Article 1, Section 9. Where is Section 9?
Page 4.
There it is. Okay. The writ, the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in case of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. And I'm like, whenever you say public, you might as well just say government, you know?
Yeah, so that's the point.
So it's an unless, I mean, it shall not be suspended unless, when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. Well, cases of rebellion, what the heck does that mean? What, the Civil War wasn't enough rebellion?
All right, but this is something which buttresses my understanding of it, because my understanding was that Lincoln was found to have, in violation of the Constitution, habeas corpus, because he was seizing people in the North, newspaper editors, writers and others, and putting them in prison, even though the North was not in a state of rebellion.
Right. No. He definitely, couldn't cover his butt that way. But, you can see my point here.
But it matters, so.
Yeah, you're an enemy combatant. You know, this is one thing. Yeah, that was one thing that really disappointed me. We had, and I haven't talked about it on the air. Rand Paul came out saying we shouldn't close Guantanamo, and that terrorists don't deserve the same rights on the Constitution that everyone else does, and this other that, and we need our most biggest priority is military spending. And yeah, I'm going, wow.
I hope you can get Rand Paul on your show and. Add a little bit of heat and light to his backside.
I tried. I sent him email, and I just, of course, I'll talk to his dad here next week. But, I was like, wow, does that, but it was on his site. Like, he's probably,
Absolutely. I mean, this is part of it. I think this was a campaign press release for him.
Yeah. No, I'm as cynical enough to think that, right after he did that, the Fed Amendment got added on the way Paul wanted it and passed in committee.
I don't think there was a connection, but then again,
nothing surprises me anymore, Jim.
Okay. Well, I'm just a country boy sitting here. People don't tell me nothing.
I don't, and me neither, but I'm just like, dang. I mean, I can't even fathom, where that came from, but this is my point, before we have to go, I just want to get, from Jim, a ray of hope. I'm looking at, see, my hope is different than yours. I don't have any illusion or any allegiance to a government that has been the biggest violator of individual rights of anything, more than Islamofascism haven't been, coming and taking my rights. It's kind of like Muhammad Ali's like, yeah, no North Vietnamese ever called me the M-word, so I who do I blame? I blame the, can we start over? I mean, is that even an option?
It might be sooner than we think, as the system gets ready to crash and burn. As the system might crash and burn.
Crash and burn. Because it's all about the money. You take away that they have absolutely no value to the states or us as individuals. Next! maybe you can go back to the state. Let's go to the individual. I vote that one. Hey, Jim, thanks for coming on and spending time with me, man. It's always great to talk to you.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for having me on. Thanks for all your kind words, and it was fun to stir things up with you.
Yeah, stir it up. Jim Bovard, BOVARD.com. JimBovard.com. Read the books. You need the information. Thanks, Jim. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center.